This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It's match day for Arsenal in the Premier League as they take on Aston Villa at the Emirates Stadium with a chance to go back to the top of the table and respond to Manchester City's win yesterday. Liverpool also in action today, but expected to win pretty comfortably. Although we did say that when they faced a certain Italian side in the Europa League. So there is always hope. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show, joining you every single morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you as always for joining me and making this a part of your morning routines. It is incredibly appreciated. I hope you've had a fantastic week and that your start of the weekend was successful. I had a very nice Saturday indeed. I went to the zoo, actually, saw a whole variety of different beasts, including what has to be a highlight, a lion cub. That was top tier. Did very much enjoy that. So it was a great day yesterday. Very chill. Finished it while watching the fourth episode of Fallout. It's still immaculately good. And looking forward to hopefully an even better Sunday, which of course relies very much upon the football. But good morning to those joining us in the chat box. Thank you so much, all of you, for tuning in. Really appreciate your time. And I've just recognized why everyone's using the word Hube. In the chat box, it's because for some reason I can't spell the word huge in the chat, which is it's fine, we can change that immediately, but in fact I might need to do it after the show, but yes we can all take the mick out of Tom's inability to press the buttons on his laptop keyboard quick enough so that they are in the correct order, not even the correct order, just me pressing the right buttons. But now I can see why everybody in the chat box is laughing at that. Yes, okay. I'll change that immediately, guys. Don't worry. But of course, as I said, today is Arsenal's game against Aston Villa in the Premier League. It's an opportunity for Arsenal to go back to the top of the table. But it will be no easy feat, of course, because Arsenal are and have been, even though they've been very good this season, they have been beaten by Aston Villa, a side that, of course, have taken plenty of points off different teams this season so far. And we look forward to hopefully getting revenge because it's something that we've done very, very well over the course of this season, beating teams like West Ham despite losing to them, beating to Liverpool despite losing to them. I think there's a couple of others as well. Newcastle, of course, Lens, another one, Porto. We've been very good at getting revenge on teams too. So, yes, very impressive indeed that we may be able to do that once again today also. Right, let's jump into today's stories. And you can see, yes, we've corrected it. It is now a huge, not Hube, blow to Bayern. We'll talk about that on shortly. But we kick off. I don't know why I haven't got the ability to somehow change these, which is very strange. Hopefully it's going to change now. There we go. Premier League. So we'll stop sharing that screen and we'll share this screen. All the technology failing me this morning. And we share this screen because we need to talk about the Premier League fixtures from yesterday. Newcastle's 4-0 win over Tottenham. The middle of Tottenham now is pronounced, you know, when you get to the H, it's Tottenham. because they are very funny indeed. Newcastle United scoring four goals. And what's so funny about this result is not just the fact that it's Spurs, of course, which makes it immediately funny. But what makes this so funny is that Ange Postecoglou did an interview in his pre-match press conference where he was asked a question about whether he'd watched the 6-1 defeat to Spurs last season. And he was like, no, like, kind of, why would I watch that? And I sat there listening to this interview thinking, well, probably because it's a good idea to see the threats that Newcastle have, how they expose a team like Spurs. Even though you weren't the manager last season, it just came across really arrogant. Like, and I don't use that word too often, but I really did feel like that was a genuine piece of arrogance to be so dismissive of your team having lost to the side you're about to play in the same ground by 6-1, to then go into this game without having seen that game, knowing what they did. I don't get how you can be that dismissive and that naive and then go and lose 4-0 by getting absolutely destroyed once again. So, yeah, it was rather funny and absolutely humbling that Ange Postecoglou needed, I think, to get. Maybe we'll encourage him to go and watch defeats from last season. I wonder if he'll be watching Arsenal's 2-0 win over Spurs at their ground last season in the lead-up. I'll be interested to see if anyone asked him that question in the lead-up to that game, which, of course, is very much closing in. We are closing in on that North London derby very, very soon. Only in a few weeks' time we'll be playing Spurs. But Brentford beat Sheffield United 2-0 in their game. Much-needed win for Thomas Frank. Burnley drawing 1-1 at home with Brighton. A big point for them. Nottingham Forest drawing 2-2 with Wolves. A big point for Forest, although they'd be disappointed that they couldn't hold on to that 2-1 lead. And then in the evening, of course, Bournemouth drawing 2-2 with Manchester United. Bournemouth were robbed. I've never seen a side as lucky. Spurs certainly are the luckiest side of the league, but decisions going their way. Like Manchester United, they have conceded 20 shots against more than, I think they're in double figures this season for the amount of teams they've conceded at least 20 shots against. That's mad. Arsenal, for the record, I don't think have any. I don't think Arsenal have conceded 20 shots against any side. Man City have one. Spurs, I think, have two. Manchester United are in double figures. And certainly it is an absolute detriment to Erik ten Hag, who walked out of his post-match press conference when asked if Man United finished below seventh in the table, that it would be the worst Premier League finish for Manchester United. Now, to give you a bit of reality to how realistic that is, they're on 32 games played with 50 points. West Ham United, same number of games played, but they've got 48 points. They're only 2 points behind them. They can actually drop to eighth because West Ham play Fulham at home today. West Ham could leapfrog them with a game in hand. Man United would have after that. Chelsea have played 2 games less than Man United, and they are 6 points behind them with a superior goal difference. So if they were to win their 2 games in hand, one of those is, of course, against Arsenal, it's worth pointing out, and they would go over Manchester United. And Brighton Hove Albion also on 44 points, 6 points behind Manchester United. But that Newcastle win over Spurs saw them jump above Man United into sixth place in the table. Newcastle suddenly have an end of season revival and could, you never know, qualify for those European places despite it looking very unlikely at one stage. The, of course, most pivotal game for Arsenal yesterday was Manchester City's, which was at home against Luton Town, and they took a very early lead in that game because of an own goal. Hashioka, who scored the own goal actually against Arsenal at the Emirates, not having a great season is Hashioka from an own goal perspective, but they then went on to score 5 goals and win relatively comfortably. I think that early goal just set the scene, to be fair, and just completely undermined any hopes that Luton had of being stubborn. And then they were forced from the second minute to have to go and try and find a goal, which opened them up significantly and allowed Man City to be relatively comfortable. Of course, today's games in the Premier League do see Liverpool take on Crystal Palace. That's the early kickoff at 2, so we will know where Arsenal stand come their game against Aston Villa at 4:30. The other 2 o'clock kickoff I've already mentioned, West Ham against Fulham, and then tomorrow is Chelsea against Everton. Moving into news, though, the main Arsenal news of yesterday, I think, is actually their under-18s. Their under-18s won 8-1. In the Premier League under-18s league against a West Ham side that have been doing exceptionally well this season. Of course, they're the current holders of the FA Youth Cup and have been doing unbelievable things whilst there. It's quite stunning. The southern end of the table, well, I suppose you can say it's the southern end of the table. They kind of they mix it together, if you like. I'm just trying to get this up. Arsenal currently sitting on 38 points. They've just beaten West Ham, who are now just 2 points ahead of them, and Arsenal actually have played a game less. Really impressive stuff from Jack Wilshere. But the most impressive thing about this result is the goal scorer. The goal scorer in this was indeed, as you can probably expect, Chido Obi-Martin, who scored 5 goals in 8-1 win. He continues to score a ridiculous. I think this is his third game in 2024 where he scored at least 4 goals. He's been exceptionally good, has Chido Obi-Martin. Camara, of course, getting on the score sheet as well for a couple of goals as well. And there's some real excitement about these kids coming through the youth ranks. But yeah, the southern end of the table. Arsenal, sorry, that wasn't a wrong table I read you at before. Arsenal on 38 points, West Ham on 43. They're 5 points behind West Ham, but they still do have that game in hand. Chelsea top of the table comfortably, 44 points. They've played 2 games less than Arsenal. Arsenal's under 21s play tomorrow. Could we see Jurrien Timber? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But yes, it's very exciting to see what's going on at the moment and seeing what Arsenal's under 18s are doing. But I always want to keep some element of, keeping ourselves somewhat tempered, because anything can happen. In terms of Max Domann, he was not, to my understanding, involved in this game. The exciting 14-year-old. Don't know the reasons as to why, just quite yet. But he wasn't involved in this game. But only just a few weeks ago, Arsenal won 8-3. Against Crystal Palace, and Obi-Martin scored 4 goals in that game as well. Jack Wilshere's side, free scoring, free flowing. If there was one day for Mikel Arteta to move on, could Arsenal already have their long-term replacement in Jack Wilshere? We ruled out Arteta being kind of mad. You never know. You never know. Now, Arsenal yesterday, the senior side, trained at the Emirates Stadium, as they have been doing quite often this season, especially ahead of the next game. They played and trained at the Emirates, and it was still that Gabriel was missing from the photos. Now, of course, we need to not read too much into this. We know that Arsenal like to be sneaky with their photos, and it does turn out quite often that players that haven't been pictured were still there and still training. I don't know if Gabriel was there for sure. We did hear that there were some suggestions that Gabriel did train on Friday, despite not initially being spotted in the open training session. However, as I've already mentioned to you guys, don't worry about Gabby so much. It seemed that certainly the messages that were coming through, the whispers that were there, was that there was nothing too serious going on. But you don't want to rule it out, and I'll hold my hands up certainly. But as I said yesterday, I wouldn't worry too much at the moment. But you can never be 100% sure in the world of football injuries, can you? But I'd be very surprised if he's not in the squad today. Very, very surprised. Indeed. Yeah, you can see the lads training there, and it seems like it was good. I love this. Just the confidence from Havertz's pose in this photo is great. Now, moving to Bayern Munich, of course, who Arsenal will be playing in midweek in the Champions League second leg quarterfinal in the Allianz Arena. They had already lost Serge Gnabry because of a hamstring injury. They'd also lost Alphonso Davies because of a suspension. And it seemed that Kingsley Coman would be the obvious replacement for Gnabry on that left-hand side. However, it now will not be him. The Frenchman has been lost to a hamstring injury. Thomas Tuchel confirming the news after the game as well. Very frustrating situation, of course, for Bayern Munich, who have lost a number of players. But Arsenal will, of course, take confidence from this. But it's not what Thomas Tuchel wanted in their 2-0 win over Cologne yesterday. They didn't play Manuel Neuer. They didn't play Leroy Sané either. But Tuchel does expect both of those to be available. They just simply didn't want to risk those two players during the game. But yeah, very frustrating for Thomas Tuchel. Despite the fact he was able to rest a couple of players, he's lost now Kingsley Coman, who will not be available for the game against Arsenal in midweek. From my perspective, I think we might see a front three on the right-hand side. Leroy Sané, I think, will come back in. I think Thomas Müller will play at 10. I think Musiala will play on the left-hand side. And then Harry Kane, of course, play up top. That would be my expectation of who the front four will be. But it's still very good, you know, even without Coman and without Gnabry, they've still got a lot of quality going forwards. And Guerrero, we expect, will most likely play at left back during the game. Right, let's go to part two and your questions right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, part two, which is the element of the show in which we jump into the chat box on YouTube and tackle as many of your comments as we can. If you haven't already dropped a like on the video, please do. We're trying to get ourselves, of course, every single day throughout the course of this season and beyond to 1K likes every single day. And we have been able to do it ever since we started this movement. So a massive thank you to everyone that continues to support the challenge. So many of you still watching, over 1,000 of you on a Sunday morning. Love that. Love that indeed. Right, let's jump into the chat, shall we? Peter says, is there any rumours being true about us being linked to Hugo Larsson from Frankfurt? If so, is he any good? Peter, first part of your question, don't know. Second part of your question, don't know. Sorry, mate, I can't be any more helpful than that. Can't say I've heard anything about that one. Jonathan says, the dramas and tribulations, the excitement and the worries, the concerns, the highs and lows, stop and think. It's happening. We are in the title race and we are going for that's what we want. This season. You're absolutely right, Jonathan. It's so easy to get sidetracked by, you know, distractions and frustrating things and criticisms, but ultimately we're where we want to be, which is in the race with 7 games to go. We win today, 6 more wins, Arsenal could very well be title winners. And sounds simple. It's not very hard indeed, but Arsenal are effectively, depending on goal difference, of course, with Liverpool, 7 wins away from potentially lifting that title. But we've got to take every game one by one, and we'll have to wait and see. Domenico says, is Obi Martin just physically superior to his age group, or is he super skilled as well? Well, Domenico, I mean, ask yourself the question. If someone that is scoring this many goals at this frequency, 2 years younger than the age bracket he's currently playing in, I think the answer is that there is a lot of skill there in Chido Obi Martin. Let's go to Hugo, who says, do you think it will benefit Tottenham not playing for 2 weeks while we have 4 games? Well, I'm not sure if I think there's still a game, isn't there, that Spurs could get rescheduled during that period. I think we're still waiting for one of those games to be rescheduled, unless it already has done. Is it a game against? I'm trying to have a look. It says here Newcastle Tottenham, but that can't be right because they've just played that game. They play Arsenal on the 28th. They play Man City. Oh, they've put it on the 14th of May. Now, they've put that game in the midweek. So, yeah, I guess we'll have to, you know, they are going to have a big break, it seems, between this game and the North London Derby. It can work either way. I look at it in two ways. You can either go down one route, which is say they're going to have loads of rest, which means they're going to be more ready for the game. Or you can look at it on the other side and say, well, Arsenal are going to be more match-focused. They're going to be more on it. They're going to be more alert. They're going to have the momentum going, where Spurs, of course, have just lost this game 4-0. They then got a stew on that 4-0 defeat for 2 whole weeks before we play them. So I think there's arguably more benefits as well. Ronald says, with Casemiro struggling with the Premier League speed, do you think Kimmich would also struggle? No, I don't think so. I think, did you see Kimmich struggling against Arsenal, or arguably the most energetic team in the Premier League? I didn't see him struggling at all. Paul says, just under 1,000 of us watching on YouTube, but there's only 166 likes so far. So make sure you smash that like button for our 1K every day. There is indeed. There's also 150 of you listening on Twitter. Make sure you hop over to YouTube as well if you want to join the chat box and ask the questions. Amberly says, break after battering like that won't be good. They'll be stewing on it. I do tend to agree. Ranty says, Tom, I'm sorry to ask what is a really serious question, but I know you're not afraid to tackle them. Why is putting tomatoes in the fridge the best thing since sliced bread? It's not, Rancid. Tomatoes should not go in the fridge. And if you want to ask anyone, ask any Italian. Sorry, but tomatoes, no. Tomatoes don't go in the fridge, mate. They are not a fridge dweller. So keep them out of it. Tizer says, when there is KDB Man City, you have Foden, Grealish, Silva. Do you think we need someone with similar ability to Odegaard should anything happen to him? We should absolutely try to. It's just very difficult. Foden's got the ability to play in a wide area. So that makes it easier for him to cover De Bruyne if De Bruyne is not there. We don't necessarily have that. Yes, Vieira can play on the right-hand side, but he's nowhere near as good as Saka, and he's not starting games. Whereas they've got a very obvious replacement for De Bruyne and more. They've got Bernardo Silva as well, who can also play there. So it's very, very difficult. Let's go to Domenico says, sorry, Tom, to qualify. Obviously, he's super skilled in terms of Chido Obi-Martin, but is it an indication that he is an elite talent in the academy? Oh, absolutely. Often youth players who physically advance faster than their peers do well. Yeah, of course. And I don't know necessarily if that's the case. But I think that he's just an exceptional talent that's doing very well. He's already played a couple of minutes, I think, for the under-21s. I think he'll be getting promoted very, very soon. Ronald says, what price is Tierney going to be worth in the summer? I think if Arsenal can get anything close to 25 million, they would have done very, very well with Kieran Tierney. He only has a year left on his deal. If they can get close to 20 million pounds, they would have done well as well. You know, he's got these injury issues. He's got little time left on his contract. He's not played too much football on loan at Sociedad. Of course, he has been starting games, but it has been effective. He's only played 15 La Liga matches this entire season, which is less than half of the available games that, of course, have been on offer to him. He didn't start their last game against Alaves. He was a substitute. Well, he was a substitute. They had, I think, Galan was starting that game. So he's not necessarily, established himself as a undisputed starter at Real Sociedad. He still played plenty of games. He come off at halftime in the last two fixtures as well for Sociedad. They've brought in Galan, of course, on loan this season. So I suppose they're using him. But it's not. He's only got two assists, no goals in 22 matches. Yeah, I don't think he's done enough to suggest that he's going to get you loads of money in the summer, but they should be looking to get 20 to 25 million pounds. And Ronald says they should extend the Tierney contract before loaning him out. I mean, if they do loan him out again, of course, that would mean his contract ends at the end of the season, so you lose him on a free. So you can't loan him without extending that contract. That would be madness. I can see a Premier League side absolutely going for him, though. You can, without doubt, I think, see that happening. Or maybe he'll go back to Scotland if someone comes up with a good figure for him. Alvamod says Victor Gyökeres, Hugo Larsson, Alexander Isak. I'm loving how many Swedish players are being linked to the club. About time I get a countryman in the team again. Indeed, you know, it's great. I love it when, you know, fans from abroad who are obviously of different nationalities then see a player join Arsenal. We've had it recently with Norway, of course, with Odegaard, hence why I wore that gorgeous shirt yesterday. Yeah, it's great to see. Dennis says, I'm not letting my batch of tomatoes go bad just because they'll lose their flavour. They stay in the fridge for me. I'm sorry, Dennis, but that's ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Of course they lose their flavour by going in the fridge. And what's the point in having them? What's the point of using them? That's ridiculous. You keep them outside the fridge, please, mate. And yeah, do they go bad faster? Yes, they do. They do go bad faster. But why are you buying something that you're not using for ages? You buy them because you use them, mate. It's as simple as that. And their tomatoes, they're not the priciest things in the world, but, I suppose that's the context of personal situations. But, in the UK, you can get a solid punnet of tomatoes for a quid, you know, and definitely shouldn't be keeping them in the fridge. John says, I can't believe we're discussing tomatoes being in the fridge. This is where we're at now. This is how little news there is on a match day. You know how match days get very quiet. Match days are our quietest days of the week in terms of news. So we need sometimes a little bit of a tangent. And I'm very passionate about this topic. I'm just going to put this out there. And this is not a brag. It's a slight brag. But I have been taught to cook by Gennaro Contaldo, who also taught Jamie Oliver to cook and told me directly, as a quote, why would you keep tomatoes in the fridge? He also said, why on earth would you put olive oil in water when you're cooking pasta? It just does nothing. It's silly. So if you do that, stop doing that. That comes from a very well respected Italian chef who's trained up the likes of Jamie Oliver. So please respect it. Respect the insight. Salim says, of the remaining games, which one do you think is the most difficult? Old Trafford. I know that people laugh at Manchester United, but Old Trafford has always and will always be somewhere that has been just something different. Maybe not will always be, but certainly has been a very difficult place for Arsenal to go, no matter what form they're in, no matter what form we're in, even last season. you know, we need to make sure that we're getting the results we need. Chinho says, Tom, do you think that Isak was magnificent yesterday against Spurs? I do. And do you think it is realistic if we could get him from Newcastle in the summer? I don't. I don't think it's realistic that we could get him. I don't think there's any indication Newcastle will be looking to sell him. Yes, they've got these PSR problems, but there's no expectation. There's no expectation that he will indeed be leaving Newcastle because David Ornstein has already reported this. And I think they'll be looking to sell maybe Bruno Guimaraes, someone along those lines instead, rather than Isak, who is a really key part of their squad. William Salibak says, we're talking of whole vine ripe tomatoes, right? None of those tin stuff. Yeah, tin's different. You know, and to be fair, tin's also outside the fridge, unless you've opened it. If you've opened it, then it goes in the fridge. And if you are getting tinned, it has to be San Marzano's, just putting that out there. And if you're going to buy tomatoes to put on your side, they've got to be on the vine. 100%. Always. As someone who loves Italian cooking, you know, I'm just talking from the heart about this. I'm passionate about it. I love it. It's great. Italian is the one. Always. Going to Italy in about, what, less than 7 weeks. You're going to be getting some 8 a.m. shows at 9 a.m. from Italy in a couple of months' time. Yeah, we don't stop. Just because we go on holiday doesn't mean that we stop doing the 8 a.m. shows. It's transfer season. Can't afford not to talk about football while I'm on holiday. No, sorry. Ronald says, Transfermarkt has Eddie at 30 million, Nelson at 50 million, Tavares at 60 million. Those prices seem right to you. No, Transfermarkt has never really necessarily been a great... It sometimes can be, but sometimes the algorithms that it use are... that can be a bit off. I would never use it as kind of a proxy for, you know, being informed about how much a player is worth. You know, I don't think it stacks up always, because context is so different. As well, they're also in euros as well. So that Nelson price is about 10 million, that Tavares price is about 12 million, that Nketiah price is about 25. I think with Nketiah, Arsenal should be looking for upwards of 25 million for him. In my view, I think we should be looking to try and get upwards of 25 million for Eddie Nketiah in the summer. He's on a good contract. He's now an England senior international. He's proven to score goals for Arsenal at a good level. He's scored in the Champions League now as well. So there is no doubt that we should be trying to get upwards of 25 million for Eddie Nketiah. Akash says, Tom, rather than buying a new number 8, can we shift Martin Odegaard to 8 and buy a Florian Wirtz type player and become our number 10? I mean, I'd love to see Florian Wirtz at Arsenal or Jamal Musiala. Either of the two would be stunningly good to get through the door. And I think Odegaard he's played slightly deeper this season as well at certain points. So, yeah, there's definitely scope for a reshuffle in midfield. Mark says, if it's not in the fridge aisle in the supermarket, don't put it in the fridge. That's a great point. I mean, when you go and buy your tomatoes, they're never in the fridge aisle. They're just not. And if they are, go have a word with the supermarket manager. Josh says, fun fact about me, I'm allergic to tomatoes. So I can eat cooked tomatoes because of the pesticides that they use. I can eat them cooked because that makes sense. Even when I wash them, they're still there. Yeah, so I'm not surprised, Josh. So just make sure you cook your tomatoes, I guess, and thoroughly so. This is mad how many questions about tomatoes we're now getting in the chat box. People, if you are new to the channel, this isn't normal routine. Just a heads up. Sundays, match days, they're very quiet. We've gone through the news, we've clearly discussed it all, and now we're going off on random tangents. Which is fine. I don't mind doing it. It's just funny. Peter says, we're moving on to Jaffa cakes now. Is it a biscuit or a cake? These are the in-depth questions. It's a cake, mate. If you made a really big Jaffa cake and said, is that a biscuit or a cake? You'd call it a cake. So it's just a cake miniaturized. So there you go. Mark says, Spurs don't keep their lasagna in the fridge. That's excellent. Love that. Jack says, is Gabriel fit for today? Hope so, mate. Hope so. I'll be surprised if he's not there. I've said that before. I'll be very surprised if he's not there. Jürgen says, if you could choose one, who would it be? Cole Palmer, Rodri, Pedro Neto, Bakayoko, Kudus, Rodri. You imagine a midfield of Rodri, Rice and Odegaard. That's disgraceful. It's a cheat code. And we'd nick Rodri off Man City as well. It's Rodri all day long. It's not even a debate. It's not a debate that. You take the best player of your biggest rival for the title, put him in your team with Declan Rice. No debate. He's arguably the best player in the Premier League, is Rodri. So, yeah, you're going to have to take him out and put some other players in there, mate, because that's not a chance that there is any other questions to choose from. Kazang says, since Tom's priority striker is Gyökeres, I watched his highlights, but haven't seen him play live. I wonder how he'll fit into a Premier League team, given that most of the players from other leagues failed to perform in the... Most of the other players in other leagues failed to perform in the Premier League? Where is this phrase come from? Where has this misconception come from? The idea that players from other leagues have failed to perform in the Premier League. If you go through the top teams competing for the title right now, right, you've got Mohamed Salah, who came from Roma. Yes, he had a spell at Chelsea. He barely played a minute of football. Came from Roma. Massive success in Serie A. And then has signed for Liverpool, been brilliant. Alisson, also from Roma. Fantastic success. Came from abroad. Manchester City's team, Erling Haaland, abroad. Ederson from Benfica, fantastic. Ruben Diaz, Benfica, fantastic. Rodri, Atletico Madrid, fantastic. Bernardo Silva, Monaco, brilliant, world class. Arsenal's team, this season, looking at the success we've had with players like Martin Odegaard, never played in England prior to his arrival in Arsenal. You know, players like Tomiyasu surprised us from signing from Bologna, done really, really well. Gabriel from Lille, Saliba from Saint-Étienne. You know, the idea that we sign players from abroad, and if you want to even go down the striker route, like look at the strikers this season. Isak at Newcastle came from Real Sociedad, previously from Borussia Dortmund. I don't really get this idea that players don't transition well. If they come from abroad, you're taking necessarily a higher risk. I look at players and I look at them on their merit, their own merit. You can't do anything other than that. You really, really can't. I don't understand it in it by any way, any stretch of the imagination. If you look at the top scorers in the Premier League at the moment, Erling Haaland from abroad, Isak from abroad, Salah from abroad, Heung-min Son from, was it Bayer Leverkusen, I think they signed him from? Mateus Cunha came from Atletico Madrid, Darwin Nunez from Benfica. It's mad to me. You know, it's mad to me that we look at these players and think, you know, they can't do it. Even Nicholas Jackson scored 9 goals at Chelsea this season. That's his first season in the league, and he's playing for a terrible Chelsea side. Absolutely awful Chelsea side. So, yeah, it's mad. Julian Alvarez came from the lower divisions of, well, not even the lower divisions, sorry, but lower divisions in the context of football from Argentina, you know, and has come in and been absolutely amazing. I never get this argument of players coming from abroad, you know, that haven't necessarily done well. And Kazang says, what about Werner and Antony? What you're suggesting, Kazang, what your argument is here, is that you're saying that every player from abroad has to do well. Otherwise, there is the argument exists. And that's just, it's just so wrong, because any player could move from any club in any situation from any country. There's always a chance that they may not work out. It's nothing to do with the fact that they come from abroad. It's a really lazy argument. With respect, it's lazy to look at it that way. So, no, you can't not sign a player just because Werner didn't do well. You know, Kudus this season, it's come from Ajax, been fantastic for West Ham. You know, it's mad to me when these players get judged. And Alvamod points out that English players have moved and failed dismally. You know, Chelsea signed Sterling from Man City. Sterling's been really disappointing for Chelsea. You know, they've signed Cole Palmer, done really, really well. But you've got kind of the juxtaposition of those two players and their stories at Chelsea. It stuns me. Harry Maguire, you know, did really, really well at Leicester, signed for Manchester United, and has become something of a meme, you know. So there you go. Yasin says, if you are new to the channel, this is literally all the conversations we have. Tomatoes and cooking tips from Tom. Yes, we call this the cooking talk channel. That's what it is. Ivor says, people will doubt Jokeres for doing it in the Portuguese league because it's the sixth best league in the world. But I think Mbappe is arguably one of the best in the world despite doing it in the fifth best league in the world. It's very true. I mean, Jokeres has more goals and assists than Mbappe. He's only playing in a league ranked one tier lower. And in fact, for a while, I think the Portuguese league had a higher coefficient than France as well. In fact, I mean, just have a quick look at UEFA league coefficients. Curious to see where we're at with these. Country coefficients, UEFA rankings, because these are important for the new Champions League format as well. England currently top with 103 points? Yeah, 103 points. Spain second in 88 points. Italy third, 87 points. But I think the actual coefficients are, they're done on a year-by-year basis. So for 2023-24, at the moment, Italy are top with 18.428. Germany are second with 16.785. England are third with 16.750. This is the whole thing about, you know, which country is going to get the fifth or sixth slot in Champions League. Italy can end up getting something like five or six slots, I think, in the Champions League, which is absolutely mental. Because it's done on like a year rather than kind of the history of the leagues, which I don't mind too much, but I guess it could come back to burn some clubs. It could come back to burn Tottenham, ironically, very harshly. Spain are fourth with 15.062. France fifth. Portugal are way down at the moment, actually. They're in seventh based upon the latest rankings. Turkey, actually. Sorry, they're not seventh. They're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're ninth. Turkey are eighth. Czech Republic are sixth. Is it seventh in the table? Belgium are sixth. Netherlands down in 10th. Really disappointing. It's amazing what some of those teams are really struggling with at the moment as well. And since Salzburg haven't been so competitive, Austria now down way down in the tables also. So, yeah, coefficients are very strange. Very, very strange indeed. Archangel says we should just go out of the Champions League on purpose so we can stop Spurs from getting qualification. To be fair, if Arsenal want to win the Champions League, that's what we want. I don't care. I don't give a flying, you know, what about Spurs and what they end up doing. And if they get Champions League because Arsenal won the Champions League, if they get qualification for it, they have to be grateful to us. They have to be grateful to Arsenal for getting them back in the Champions League. It's because of us and our success, our trophy winning, if indeed we do it. You know, that gets them there, which I think is more of an ironic hilarity to enjoy. Eman says, hey, Tom, would you take Bournemouth's Neto as Ramsdale's replacement? I think he would be a good cover option for Ray. It's been very good, but the question is, would he be a number two? He's been a number two at a number of other clubs like Juventus and Barcelona, but would he be up for it? I think he kind of likes playing, doesn't he? So it's different. Goalkeepers are different. They just want to play. It's hard to find a competitive number two like a Stefan Ortega. Very hard to find that. As well. Yeah, Chechia are up there doing very, very well at the moment in European competitions. Can't be knocked. They're doing very, very well indeed. Akash says, Tom, if we buy a new good striker, do we need a Jesus, assuming Kyle be as backup, as we get 50 plus million? His salary is about 265K. He can be a backup, but a Saka, but with that kind of salary, will it be good to keep him? Yes, it would still be good to keep him because Nketiah moves on. Jesus is an option that can play across the front three. He's got his fitness issues as well, of course, to point out and remember. I think it's more than good to keep him in the squad. Ajmal says, do you see City or Liverpool dropping any points? I do. Yeah, I think Liverpool are more likely. I think they've been very fortunate to have the amount of points they do. The fortune that they have had in certain games, getting late goals, the amount of goals they concede, the amount of shots they have that, you know, don't necessarily lead to a goal. If you stop, the teams just need to stop somehow. And I know it's a big somehow. If you can restrict Liverpool from shooting as much, you will get so much better results. Arsenal and City are far, far, far more clinical this season when it comes to shot conversion. Liverpool have loads of shots, and that's why they are where they are in the table. But restrict them, and honestly, you will see their points plummet. Absolutely plummet. Z says, what is your prediction for today? The revenge. I'm hoping for a very good victory, like 3 or 4 is what we're hoping for. And a very good performance with a little bit of rotation, maybe rest some legs ahead of the Bayern game. If not, if we've got a good scoreline by halftime, you can make some changes. But the most important thing is the 3 points. If it's 1-0, I don't care. As long as we win, that is all that matters. Nats is going for a 3-1 win. Maximius is going for a 3-0 Arsenal win in the chat. Dennis going for a 2-0. Arsenal victory. Burns says, I see a 1-0 win for Arsenal today. I don't care if it's 1-0. I really don't. I'll just take the 3 points and move on. Keep a clean sheet. Obviously, I think goal difference could end up mattering, so we prefer to win by a good, you know, whack, but we just need to win. Wookie Cookie says 3-1. Jacob says 2-0. Mr. Reese says 2-0. Max Days Black says 4-0. Runs of Cows says 2-0. Amberlee says 3-0. Jorgen says 9-0. A hat-trick from all three Gabriels. Morgie says 3-1 to the Arsenal also. Alvermont says Bayern will most likely beat their point tally this year of 71. So exactly how Bayer Leverkusen are being so good. It's kind of crazy, isn't it, when you think about that. They'll beat their point tally of, was it last season? 71. So exactly how are they so bad? They're still beating that thing. Yeah, of course, Granit Xhaka can win the Bundesliga title today if Bayer Leverkusen win their games. That's also another game to be looking out for. Bayer Leverkusen taking on Werder Bremen at the same... Well, actually, no, an hour before. Is it an hour before? What time's Arsenal's kickoff? I thought it was... Is it not 4:30? I thought it was 4:30 today. Let me have a quick check. I'm sure it is 4:30. It is, yes. Bayer Leverkusen and Arsenal kicking off at the same time this afternoon. So by the end of the day, the two, Premier League and the Bundesliga, could look very interesting indeed. The Bundesliga could be wrapped up by the end of this afternoon. Right. Thank you so much for everybody tuning in. Really appreciate your time. You've been listening to Tommy Tomato today. But thank you for listening. Do drop a like on the video and subscribe to the channel if you're new around here with those notifications turned on so you never miss a show. You can drop a like on the channel to help us out with our reach of 1,000 likes every single morning show. We've been doing it very, very committedly and very, very successfully as well. So please do help us on our way to 1K every single day. Enjoy your Sunday. I really hope it goes well. I'm going to be at the ground a little bit later on this afternoon, hopefully enjoying what is going to be a very successful revenge against Aston Villa. But they are by no means a pushover. They are a good side and they've had some very, very good performances this season. But it is a midfield that is going to be a bit pillaged. No Douglas Luiz, no Kamara, no Jacob Ramsey. So how Unai Emery is going to field that midfield is something that Arteta needs to try and absolutely overcome and smash out the waters. Thank you so much for listening. Have a fantastic Sunday. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around, and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go, and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.